Steinberg, Kerr, The Big Show. Brought to you by The Comedy Cave, 9206 McLeod Trail South. Online at comedycave.com. Talking Calgary sports in the afternoon. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
I think the Flames are gearing up to make a decent splash in free agency. I really do. And I wonder if I'm alone in that. So let me lay it out for you once again. They've put Mason Raymond on waivers to buy him out. That's going to save $2.1 million on their cap this year. They might be able to get some more cap relief in other areas too. Maybe there's another buyout coming. I don't necessarily anticipate that, but who knows? Window's still open. Maybe they put Ladislav Schmid on LTIR. Maybe a Dennis Weidman trade is in the offing at some point. Like, at first, I didn't think the Flames would be overly busy at all in free agency. But the more I think about it, the more I think there's a possibility that they do something, you know, somewhat significant. I don't think they're going to get Steven Stamkos, but do I think they could go out and get themselves an impact winger in free agency? All of a sudden, I think, yeah, there's that potential. Kyle Okpozo, Milan Lucic, Andrew Ladd, Louis Eriksson, like, these are names that are out there all of a sudden, and I wonder if there's a chance the Flames could dial in. I mean, if they were to go out and get Louis Eriksson, I think that would be outstanding. They'll have around $7 million in cap space come Friday. William, where are you at? Do they make a big splash, a Michael Frolik size splash when they get to free agency Friday?
No, I don't think they do, and I think.
How come?
I just think that, you know, still you don't want to be that tight against the cap. I don't believe if you're the Calgary Flames, and you know, I still don't know if they're done with goaltending. So I don't know. You know, splash is maybe a strong word. I still think that maybe they're going to be more active than they were thinking they would be a week ago. But I don't know if we're out there seeing a signing like we saw with Michael Frolik at July 1st of last year. But they do need some depth in the wing, and we'll see what happens. I just don't know if we see a five-year deal worth over $20 million.
Maybe it may not be as a long-term a deal, but you know, I wonder if you go take a look at some of these wingers that are out there. You know, from Lucic, I don't think Lucic is coming here, and I'm. Okpozo would be great, but I think that he's probably going to be in the 6-7 year variety, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably makes sense in that regard. But what about Louis Eriksson? What about Troy Brouwer? What about guys like that? You know, free agents that are potentially out there that I think you could maybe zone in on as a little bit of a shorter term deal. Like, I think you could get Eriksson for 4 years, for instance. So if you could get Louis Eriksson at 4 years at $4.5 million, is that something the Flames could potentially do? All of a sudden, and there's more of a potential to do that. Mm. And I don't think it's because, again, if you estimate. And tell me if my estimations are wrong, if you think that my math is wrong. But if you estimate $14 million combined for Johnny Gaudreau and for Sean Monahan, they're going to have about $7 million on their cap to play with. And maybe they go out and use some of that on a goaltender. But if they're able to sign a goaltender at, say, $1.5 million for 2 years, that still gives them $5.5 million to work with, and you still have got the potential cap relief of Ladislav Schmid on LTIR if you run up against the cap. So I don't think, and the Raymond, the two things that affect it most, the Raymond buyout and the fact that your number one goaltender is only making $2.5 million, all of a sudden, you've got way more cap space in free agency than we had ballparked going into the draft, and that's why I'm sitting here thinking that they could be a little bit more of a player come Friday than we thought at first.
Yeah, and I know that you mentioned it before. If the Flames even went out and got somebody outside of Yoni Oto to fill the backup role, and even if they get him around $2 million, you're still, you know, got that $4 million left that didn't be used, or what that was used last year for a Kai Ramo. So you're still going to save money regardless of what you do with your backup goaltender compared to what you had tied up in that space last season. So again, to me, the reason why I'm cautious on a guy like Eriksson or somebody of that ilk is, again, I don't know. To me, you just run yourself into danger. And get, don't get me wrong, I love Mark Giordano, but he's already going to be a guy that you're paying till 38, 39. And I'm not saying you're going to give Louis Eriksson a 7-year deal, but he's 31 on July 17th.
Would you give him a 4-year deal?
No, I wouldn't.
What about, I'm just trying to think, like, guys
to
in
me,
that range.
I just think the Calgary Flames shouldn't be signing guys in their 30s. They're not in that position, in my opinion.
But if it's a short-term deal.
Right, but if I'm Louis Eriksson, I'm not going to sign a 2-year deal with Calgary.
Well, I'm not, but 4 years sounds fine to me.
Fair enough. He'll be 35 when that deal ends, which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And you know, there's a good chance he is productive at that point. He had two of his better NHL seasons the last two with Boston.
He's a really good player. I think you put Louis Erickson on a line with Michael Backlund and Michael Frolik, like analytics folks are dancing in the streets.
So Fair enough, but again, I think I think because he's an analytic darling, there's going to be a team out there that gives him 6 or 7 years.
And maybe they do. He was at 4.25 last year, and maybe 4.5. But I'm saying if you can get a guy at somewhat reasonable in the four to five million dollar range, and you can keep it 4 years or under, then I think there's a potential you do that. And whether it's Brower, whether it's Ladd, right, whether it's and maybe none of those are realistic.
Sure.
But I think that they've at the very least got themselves a little bit more flexibility to enter into those conversations now.
100% they have. I guess to me, the reason why I say cautious is I don't think the Flames should getting a bidding war for Louis Erickson's services. Maybe that's just me, but if somebody wants to offer him 6 years at $5 million per season, you let him have him. I don't think
probably. I agree with. I'm not saying you do it at any cost.
Yeah.
By no means am I trying.
And that's
to
where I agree
you
with you. I think if the price is right, you for sure, inquire about that and try to test the waters. But if the price begins to be a little bit too steep for your liking, I just don't know if I see the Calgary Flames getting in a bidding war.
I think, and I thought that maybe they would make a low impact deal as early as yesterday,
sure,
or as recently as yesterday, and now I think they can make a little bit more of an impactful deal. I think that with the Mason Raymond buyout at $2.1 million savings on the cap, and it will, so they save $2.1 million this year. It's the opposite way the following year. 1.05 will remain on their cap for the 2017-2018 season. But the good thing about the 2017-2018 season is there's a whole lot more money that comes off the cap then. So, yeah, you'll have to sign Brian Elliott to a contract extension and Sam Bennett to a contract extension for 17-18. But you'll have, you know, players like Bolig, players like, I'm trying to think who else would be, Englund, Weidman, Schmid. All those guys come off the cap at the end of this coming season, so you'll have a little bit more flexibility in that regard. So if your cap situation all of a sudden, again, what do you think? $14 million? That sound about right for Gaudreau,
yeah,
Monahan?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're probably looking at a max 15, and again, that's max. Like, you're talking, you know, probably a steeper Monahan contract than you would have liked.
I'm kind of anticipating 6.5 Monahan, 7.5 Gaudreau is kind of what I'm thinking.
And I wonder, though, I mean,
and again, it could be lower than that.
This is pure speculation. But again, yeah, further to that, I think, you know, part of the reason maybe this is taking so long is maybe the Flames aren't ready to make the 8-year commitment to those two guys.
Yeah.
And maybe you're having a little bit of a war between the camp and the Calgary Flames. And I'm not saying a huge war where it ends up with those two guys on different teams, but I think that this is a possibility that Tree Living is going, okay, you know, kind of further to what we talked about yesterday. Do I really want to throw all this money at guys that haven't really, you know, essentially done anything in this league? They've had great starts to their career, but throwing $16 million or $15 million at two players who haven't necessarily won anything is hard to do at this point. So who knows?
It was July 7th when Vladimir Tarasenko signed his contract last summer. So that happened after unrestricted free agency. So this could happen very well after unrestricted,
sure,
free agency for Gaudreau and Monahan. What else are you going to do, though? Like, what other options do you have when it comes to Gaudreau and Monahan?
Well, I think the option you have is a bridge deal, but I don't know if you're going to get...
Don't you do that at your own peril?
Yeah, you probably, you know, give yourself more damage long-term if
you
do that.
It helps you short-term, but might hurt you long-term.
Like, now, again, what...
Subban could have signed for... you know, 8 years, $48 million, and been making 6 years, but the Habs wanted to bridge him. Well, he won a Norris Trophy in his bridge, and now he's making $9 million. Well, and specifically with Gaudreau, but even with Monahan, Gaudreau has two more 80-point seasons on a two-year bridge, then all of a sudden he goes from being in the $7 million range to being in the $9 million range. So... That's why I think the long term and you potentially buy some unrestricted free agent years. I mean that to me is the benefit of going long term. Despite I don't dispute the fact that there's risk in doing it. The guys, like, they haven't won anything. Nobody's won anything here, and you're about to pay them, you know,
and even two more 80-point seasons from Gaudreau, is he really a $9 million player?
Like, in this day and age, it kind of is.
Not really. The cap hasn't moved at all. And there's talk that Stamkos might not even get 10. Now, I think that's ludicrous. But again, we haven't seen the dollar raise at all right now. So unless that dollar rises crazy, like unless it, you know, climbs exponentially in the next 3 or 4 years, I don't think you're going to be getting the cap where a lot of people envisioned it to be, and why Chicago ended up signing two guys for over $20 million. Mm-hmm. So again, that was the time 2-3 years ago. But the way the economy is going right now, I don't know if we're ever going to see that cap above $80 million. And as a result, you put yourself in a tight spot with paying two guys that much money. And don't get me wrong, they're great players. But two more years at 80 points and four seasons total under your belt as a pro hockey player in the National Hockey League, to me, anyways, I could be alone. And you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but that doesn't, to me, equal a $9 million player.
And maybe $9 million is a stretch, but $8 million?
Probably,
somewhere in that
probably,
range.
For sure.
If he has two more 80-point seasons.
And again, remember, too.
That's why I don't bridge the guy.
Right. And remember, too, maybe not a bridge deal, but look at what's happened in Tampa. They signed Stamkos to a 5-year deal after his entry-level contract, and now he's about to hit UFA status.
Yeah.
So that's the other part of the danger, too. Do you let, you know, a guy like Gaudreau or Monahan walk away by signing them only to a 5 or 6-year deal? You probably have to go the max 8 or maybe even 7. But again, I think it's going to be really fascinating to see where these numbers end up, and I'm kind of curious.
When it's all said and done, the only name that will surprise me if the Flames have signed that player come Friday, the only name that has been thrown around, if they sign Will Nault to a $6 million contract, yes, that will surprise me. But if they of the names that are out
come
there.
Come on, man. Give me some credit.
$6 million, man. I mean, what have you ever won?
I'm probably $550. Like, I'm probably, you know.
NHL min.
Base salary, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But if they were to sign it to $6 million, I'd be surprised. If they were to sign Stamkos...
They'd have some serious cap trouble.
Yes, they would. If they were to sign Stamkos, I would be stunned. However, if they were to sign Kyle Pozo, Louis Erickson, you name the other guys that are out there, that wouldn't surprise me anymore because they've got some other potential things they can do. I still think the potential of trading Dennis Wiedemann somewhere, and even if you have to eat half of his salary, that saves you $2-point-something million. So there's potential cap savings. I still think there's the potential of being able to offload Lance Boma's contract somewhere and be able to. I know they were trying. They were. He was in conversations. They were looking. I don't know if they were looking to deal him, but his name was out there at the trade deadline. And I know for a fact that Anaheim was interested in Lance Boma prior to the trade deadline. So doesn't Lance Boma seem to fit as a Randy Carlyle type player? Like all of a sudden, maybe there's a landing spot for Boma somewhere, and you can potentially, you know, offload that. And so I think that there is potential. Again, Ladislav Schmid on LTIR. They could make a splash come free agency. I'm way more interested in Friday from a Flames perspective today now, than I was yesterday or the day before.
Now, you say splash, and again, I'm just throwing this out there as a hypothetical, but you saying about the Wiedemann contract, and even eating half, you're right, that still saves you a little bit of cash. I'm curious, by a splash, and I know that, you know, Louis Erickson is probably a better player, but in terms of, you know, you might get more production, but in terms of leadership and what he probably does for your locker room, I don't wonder if this team doesn't take a serious run at Andrew Ladd. I really don't.
I do think Erickson is probably a slightly better player.
Yeah.
But sure. I mean, it all comes down to how long are you willing to go? And yeah. I do think Brad Treliving is going to remain fairly pragmatic in that. I don't think we're going to be seeing a 30-year-old signing a 6-year deal with the Flames.
Which is why I went back to the Erickson thing and said, if you get in a bidding war, I don't see the Flames doing that.
Exactly.
And that's, you know,
same thing with Ladd, same thing with whoever,
you know,
we talk about.
Ladd and Erickson are the same age, so absolutely the same thing. And who knows? Ladd is a guy that, you know, with a a Stanley Cup winner. Two-time Stanley Cup winner,
yeah.
There's probably a potential that somebody's going to maybe outbid you for his services. So, who knows?
But at the very least, you can be in on these conversations now.
Where a week ago, you probably weren't.
Man, that Brian Elliott contract helps you immensely, doesn't it?
Yeah, if they would have went and got Ben Bishop, you sure wouldn't be having this talk.
It'd be a completely different conversation, you're right, if Ben Bishop was here. By the way, welcome to the Big Show. He's Will, I'm Pat. We're underway on this Wednesday afternoon. And by the way... just because we're feeling generous on this Wednesday edition of The Big Show, I figure why not give something away right now? How would you like to go to the Calgary Stampeders season opener on, not season opener, home opener on Friday night? 8 o'clock kickoff on Friday. Exactly. Do that again. That's how you should be reacting to going to the Stampeders home opener. 8 o'clock against the Bombers Friday night. It's for our texters at 960-960. You've got to have your first and last name on the text. And you've got to get the answer correct. So at 960-960, first and last name, first one to answer this correctly, is going to the Stamps and Bombers on Friday night. I need to know, who is Calgary's leading rusher in week one against BC? Who was Calgary's leading rusher in week one against BC? 960-960, first one to get that with their first and last name on the text, is going to the game on Friday. I want to ask this again. Will, what exactly are the Boston Bruins thinking in this whole Jacob Trouba offer sheet conversation?
Answer, they're not thinking.
It's out there. I mean, it was picked up by CSN New England to begin with. Mark Spector's written about it.
I don't mean that it's not out there. I meant...
No, I know. I know what you meant. They're not thinking. I totally know what you're getting at.
It's kind of crazy. I don't understand it myself.
So... I don't really understand why the Bruins would be going down this road and why they would be willing to pay Jacob Trouba so much more than guys who are in his comparable range. Like, if he's looking for $7 million per, he's not better than Dougie Hamilton. He's not better than Seth Jones. And all of a sudden, he's going to be making like $1.3, $1.5 million more than those guys. How does that make sense? Even if you squint with binoculars, how does that make sense? It's so beyond the realm of something that the Bruins should do. I don't get that one at all. And I really, why Trouba hasn't been able to find some more common ground with the Jets, or why the Jets haven't been able to find more common ground with Trouba, is beyond me too. Like, that should be signed already, or at the very least, it should be a little bit closer than where it is right now. $7 million for Trouba, that seems ridiculous. Am I off base in saying that?
No, I think you're bang on, and certainly the contract signed today by 21-year-old Seth Jones is probably good evidence that Trouba is asking a lot from the Winnipeg Jets right now. And, you know, I think Seth Jones coming in at $5.4 million makes Trouba's camp look ridiculous. And, again, I think Trouba's a great defenseman, but he's not $1.6 million more than Seth Jones per year. So I don't know. I think it's bizarre. And again, going back to what you were talking about in terms of no common ground between the Jets and Trouba, if Trouba's cap doesn't come down off that $7 million ask, are we going to be looking at, you know, potentially a look of maybe, you know, a trade here? Like, are we talking about that before?
Well, it sure does sound like everybody's... It sure does sound like everybody is about the Jets and Trouba being ready to go in different directions, right, and maybe a trade down the road.
And is that why maybe the Bruins are putting that out there? You know, just, hey, let's float this out in the media and see where it goes. And sure enough, who knows? Maybe that scares Winnipeg into a trade. That's the reason, at least that's what people are saying, is the reason the team went away from Dougie Hamilton last year was a threat of an offer sheet. So I'm talking about the Boston Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Is this what you're trying to do? Trying to get them to trade you, Jacob Trouba, before Friday, or what's the motive here? I'm really confused.
And the fact that, like, it came from one reporter to begin with, and then was picked up, you know, by Spector and some others. Like, it's now out there, and it's now something that's being buzzed about. I still don't think it's going to happen because it doesn't really make any sense at this point. But it's out there. And if it were to happen, it would be a real head-scratcher from a Boston Bruins perspective. Again, just think about it. So you would, as the Bruins, in about a 370-day span, trade Dougie Hamilton because you couldn't get to a contract with him for a first-round pick and two second-round picks, then offer sheet Trouba, pay him $7 million a year, and give up four first-round picks as a result. Kind of seems like a strange year. And it kind of, and I know hindsight's 20/20, but you're like, they could have signed Dougie Hamilton for less than $6 million, and then all of a sudden we're not having this conversation.
Now,
right?
At the time, they were in quite the cap crunch, and I don't know if that was, I think they still could have signed that deal, couldn't they?
I think so.
But there was some talk that, because they had a bunch of guys they needed to sign on the back end, and you know, I know they were in quite the cap crunch last year, but you probably could have made a deal work with Dougie Hamilton.
Well, basically, if you signed Hamilton last year in Boston, you wouldn't have been able to go out and get, what's his face, the guy who killed the Flames in the playoffs against Anaheim. I don't remember his name. Matt Bieleski. You wouldn't be able to go out and get Matt Bieleski.
How'd that work out for you?
I mean, he had a pretty decent year with Boston, but they missed the playoffs. Like, Bieleski actually had a really good year for him.
It was slow at the start, but he figured it out as the year went along.
But, I mean, no offense to Matt Bieleski. I think I'm just going to pull up what he got last year. I like him as a player. Ended up with 15 goals and 37 points. Had a decent year for him. But would you rather have 37 points from Bieleski or 42 points from Dougie Hamilton, right? It seems like a pretty easy choice. Bieleski was at like $3.8 million and Hamilton at $5.75. Like, it seems like a fairly easy decision to make from this end, but Boston went the other way. Anyway, do you see a Trouba offer sheet happening?
No.
Me neither.
Unless the Bruins are that crazy, then no.
Yeah, Toronto Blue Jays sure don't like making things easy on themselves, do they? Man, they sure do. They sure do like to make things tight. They end up winning 14-9 over the Rockies.
Last night was a classic Coors Field game.
Oh, boy, was it ever.
That ball was flying.
Like, they'll never win a World Series. They'll never win a World Series, the Rockies.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, they've been in the postseason.
Post-game,
before.
John Gibbons. I don't know how you do this for 81 games a year.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And I mean, they've gone deep before. I'm very aware. They were there in 07.
Troy Tulowitzki's rookie year.
They will never win a World Series because of that ballpark. I'm fairly confident in saying that. Okay.
So you're saying if Calgary one day, eventually, perhaps, maybe, if never, got a baseball team, they would never win the World Series either?
I don't think Calgary's ever getting a Major League Baseball team. Yeah. I'm fairly confident. I'm very confident in Calgary not getting a Major League Baseball team.
Don't say never, but you're probably right.
In my lifetime, I'm
coming.
Yeah, you know what?
There you go.
You know what? When I'm dead and I'm wrong, I won't care because I'll be dead. But in my lifetime, I'm confident I won't see a Major League Baseball team in my fair
That's
city.
That's probably a safe bet.
That looked like the first half of the 2015 season for the Blue Jays. Boy, this team can jack, but man, they have to win 10-6 or 14-9. That bullpen, like, they just cannot help this team at times. Hap was okay. That was not his best performance of the year, but he
even the starting pitching a little bit's come back down to earth.
But at least he got the win.
Not a significant drop off, but again, you know, outside of the bullpen, Hap wasn't great last night, but they got the win, so that's the most important thing.
But the
pitching has come back down to earth.
Tulo gets a home run against the Rockies. That was kind of cool. They're able to put up 14 runs. That was nice. But sure would like the bullpen to be a little bit more reliable. I sure would like to feel a little bit more comfortable with a 11-7 lead than I did last night. And man, that got hairy. What was it, the sixth inning? That got hairy there when it was runners on first and third. It was 11-7, then it's 11-9. Like, it gets way too hairy than it needs to times.
Should we roll with this, by the way?
What's that?
Looks like it's done.
What am I missing?
The Oilers have made a trade, and it looks like it involves Taylor Hall.
Oh, boy, what am I missing on Twitter?
We're just waiting for the details, but it looks like Taylor Hall is on his way to New Jersey to join the Devils. Waiting to see what the return is. But again, people wondering what that return is, because you look at that New Jersey roster, I don't know what the Oilers are looking at. Word from TSN's Bob McKenzie that the Oilers were close to a deal involving Adam Larson on the weekend, and Darren Dreger just reporting now Larson is a part of the return. So that's the basis of the deal, is Taylor Hall for Adam Larson.
It's got to be more than that.
It has to be.
I like Larson and all, but
it has to
boy,
be.
Oh boy.
It has to be.
Ryan Rashog of TSN.
So that is a done deal. We're waiting for the return.
Ryan Rashog of TSN broke the deal. The Oilers have traded Taylor Hall, and now we wait to see what the return is.
Larson is the return. That's the main part, and we're waiting to see. Hopefully it's...
I'm not even certain that is the main part. Like, that can't be the main part. Taylor Hall is a... You know, 75-80 point player. There's got to be something else significant in there.
Your good buddy Jonathan Willis putting on Twitter today saying Les Schneider for Talbot's part of the deal. That's pretty much an automatic loss. Don't know what they're thinking.
This is going to turn into a huge deal. Let's
we get Reed back on the phone. No, just kidding.
Poor guy. No, let him chase down the story in his mark. Hey, Reed, this is the biggest story in Edmonton in years happening right now. No, we need you on Calgary Radio. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to say, we're going to first of all say Kevin is the winner of our Stampeders tickets.
Yeah, Kevin.
Congratulations to Kevin. Will's going to call you in the break. He correctly answered our question. The leading rusher in the game on Saturday against the BC Lions was Torrey Harrison, 19 yards on 5 carries. Was not a good day on the ground for the Calgary Stampeders. So congratulations to Kevin. We're going to go around the NHL next, and have no fear. The Taylor Hall news will be in there. And as we go to break, we haven't done this in a while. It's a Wednesday. It's a Taylor Hall hump day.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Hump day!
Hey, guess what day it is?
Hump day!
Hump day! It's hump day!
Yeah. Hey, Mike!
Mike!
Guess what day it is?
Hey, Cam, guess what day it is?
It's not even Wednesday.
Let it go, Phil. If you're a camel, you put up with this all the time. It's what you do.
Text 960-960 anytime to contact, chirp, applaud, agree, or disagree with Sportsnet 960. And by the way, keep it clean or clean enough. Around the NHL on The Big Show, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The Edmonton Oilers.
What is happening in Edmonton?
Oh boy.
The Edmonton Oilers have reportedly traded Taylor Hall to the New Jersey Devils.
Wait for it. It's a massive return.
For Adam Larson, straight up.
Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet just tweeted.
Yeah, just confirmed. It is a straight one-for-one deal.
Oh,
Hall for
goodness.
Larson. Look, I think Adam Larson's a decent defenseman, and I think that he will absolutely help Edmonton's blue line. But if you're going to trade Taylor Hall, look, we can crack on the Oilers all we want and say this guy is a cancer in the room or this guy is bad. It doesn't matter. Taylor Hall is a perennial 75-point guy potentially in this league. He's 24 years old, and you just traded him for Adam Larson straight up. You got to tell me you could do better than that if you're Peter Chiarelli in Edmonton. I am stunned by this. I thought Taylor Hall's return would be in the first round pick, defenseman and forward range, or they might be able to peddle Hall and be able to bring back a true number one defenseman. And again, I'm not trying to knock Adam Larson. I think he's a fine player who's still got a nice ceiling. But that one for one is mind-boggling to me. It is incredible that the Edmonton Oilers would get that little of a return for Taylor Hall at first blush. Incredible to me.
So it is a one-for-one deal. Taylor Hall is a member of the New Jersey Devils. By the way, all 5 top picks from the 2010 NHL entry draft have been traded. Tyler Seguin, traded. Taylor Hall, traded.
Both by Peter Chiarelli.
Erik Gudbranson, traded. Ryan Johansson, traded. Nino Niederreiter, traded.
Like, am I alone in
oh my goodness.
How completely out of whack that seems?
I can't believe that this just happened.
Taylor Hall is a $6 million cap hit for the next 4 years, whereas the Edmonton Oilers acquire Adam Larson on the back end, and his cap hit is 4.166 for the next 5 years. Look, I don't want to get too savage on Edmonton here, because, again, I think Larson's a good player. And had he been a part of a Taylor Hall deal, then I think this seems a little bit more reasonable. 23 years old, still a high ceiling, I think kind of came along slowly from his draft year, but has certainly gotten better as time has gone along. I trust him defensively. I think that he's a nice player. But it just, I get that you're saving money with Hall to Larson, and I get that it opens the door for Milan Lucic going to Edmonton. That seems like a fait accompli now. But I still feel all the benefits of that, you still have to maximize an asset like Taylor Hall, don't you? Like, Taylor Hall's been in consideration for, I'm not talking about heavy consideration, but he's been thrown around in talks for World Cups and Olympic teams. Taylor Hall has been an 80-point player before in this league. He's coming off a 65-point season with the Edmonton Oilers this year. He's 24 years old. This is a true special impact right winger, and to only get a defenseman as a return seems rather ludicrous to me. Ilya Kovalchuk and Marian Hossa, I'm not saying that he should have gotten those type of deals exactly, but I still feel like it should have been more than Adam Larson.
Well, and I think you nailed it right at the start when you said that's the best you could do. Like, really? I mean, I don't think it's a secret that the team was looking to get some defensemen and probably trade one of their core forwards. And, you know, trading Taylor Hall is fine, but for Adam Larson? And again, I'm not trying to knock on Adam Larson, but that's a scary-looking deal if you're the Edmonton Oilers.
Whew. So Peter Chiarelli has now traded Tyler Seguin and
I saw it floated out there before, and I'm curious. I don't think we can get it unless someone goes out and does the research, and I'm sure Elias at some point or Sportsnet Stats will have it. But I'm wondering if Chiarelli's the first GM to ever trade the first two picks from a draft class.
That's incredible to me. Let's read a couple of texts at 960-960.
This will be good.
Chiarelli's a really bad GM. Okay. Everyone knows Edmonton's looking for D. All bad bids. He was going to get screwed no matter what. All offers for Hall were zeros. I don't buy that. Then don't trade Taylor Hall. Like, that's if you're going to get a bad return, don't make the trade. If you're going to get a bad return, just stand pat with a really good right winger, and maybe make it a little bit later when your leverage is a little bit higher. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Whew. Check with Oilers fans. Some may not be that disappointed. I've got some here on the text line. My colleague, who's an Oilers fan, just said that Chiarelli has now traded both Hall and Seguin and botched both trades. Hall for Larson makes sense with cap hit for Lucic, but should have been a pick, don't you think? Or maybe a prospect? Only in Edmonton. As a Devils fan, this is great. Chiro totally pulled the blanket out from under Chiarelli. Where else are we going? Why did they not trade Hall to Calgary for England? One for one? Come on. This from an Oilers fan. I'm so bummed out. I don't even know what to say. This is unreal. I don't know how you blow that deal. I'm stunned too, Pat. This one from an Oilers fan. Are you kidding me? So there's a few at 960-960.
Oh.
Oh. I am outraged.
There's a little bit of that going on right now. This trade is only good for the other seven teams in the Pacific. Tough one, Edmonton. Maybe Kevin Lowe's still calling the shots. Chiarelli has Benning beat. Breaking, Chiro has been named GM of the year.
Stinko.
Boma for McDavid. Chiarelli would probably do that deal. Holy crap, the Flames should have offered Jukka Pekka. Lots coming in.
Hey, they kind of got, maybe you ought to have done with Jukka Pekka, actually.
I mean, about the same age as Adam Larson.
They've probably done the same in the league.
I was not expecting that. At first blush, look, I value Taylor Hall very, very highly. I think he is an incredible player. I really do. I still believe that he has got superstar talent. And I think that we've seen superstar ability from Taylor Hall before. You know, we're only 2 years removed from an 80-point season. He was at 65 last year. And I think this is a player, as he continues over the next 5 or 6 years, can routinely get in the 70 to 80-point range. It's a commodity this day and age in the NHL. You don't see a lot of players like that this day and age in the NHL. And I would have thought the return for Hall would have been higher. And you know what? Maybe the market wasn't there. And that's when I say don't trade him. If you're not going to be able to maximize an asset like Taylor Hall, then don't trade the asset. He's worth more to you there. I know they need D. I know they need to upgrade. But I don't know. Like, they're not winning the Stanley Cup this year. Right? They're not going to go from picking fifth overall to the final four in the postseason. So the urgency to upgrade their blue line wasn't that urgent that they needed to trade Taylor Hall away like that. I would have wait till the deadline. Wait till his value's higher. Wait to see if maybe he's having it.
Yeah.
It just seems like
Well, and
the wrong time to do this deal.
You know, didn't Reed Wilkins from 630 Chad on Hockey Central today, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he mentioned that it was floated out there during the year of Eberle for Hamonic, right? I mean, at that point, wouldn't you want to pull that trigger? That's insane. This is Shirelli, by the way, right now as we speak.
Hey, I'm a giraffe.
That's funny.
Him and Kawasaki have been hanging out.
Look, I don't...
Yeah, hockey last year.
Bush party. Having a bush party.
We need a champagne. Yeah. Bush party tonight.
That's lots of live look into Peter Chiarelli's office.
In
right
the Oilers war room.
In Edmonton.
Hey, I'm a giraffe.
That's funny. Look, I'm not saying there's not benefits. I'm not saying there's not cap relief. I'm not saying they're not getting better on the blue line. Of course they are. I just think you could have maximized Taylor Hall a whole lot better than by trading him for Adam Larson. A whole lot better. And the Devils are getting one hell of a player. And now throw Adam Henrique and Taylor Hall back together.
Paul Bissonnette on Twitter. On the bright side, there might be an Oilers fan that thinks they're getting Oliver Ekman-Larsson, so that's good.
Hey, at least Newark will seem like a beautiful city after being in Edmonton for so long. Oof, what a beating. Whoa. That's not even true.
Wow.
That's not it. Look, we like to take pot shots at Edmonton.
By the way, the Oilers have just made it official on Twitter, so it is a one-for-one deal.
A few more texts. I wouldn't have traded Nugent Hopkins or Eberle for Larson, let alone Hall. I think Hall's the best of the bunch. Like, if you're going to trade that guy, you've got to make sure that you're getting a great return. Hey, Pat, I know you keep trying to defend yourself and how you feel before you explain things. It's almost like you're trying to make yourself feel better about the whole thing. How the hell does this guy do something like this and get approval from the higher-ups? I'm trying to have a little balance on the thing. I'm trying to find the other side of it, trying to be somewhat of a professional journalist on it, because to me, it's so ridiculous. So that's why I'm trying to look at the other side of it. I agree, Pat. Just don't trade him. It makes zero sense.
What's up, Pat?
10 years going on 11 out of the playoffs. I'm honestly not wanting to work anymore right now. 36 years of being an Oilers fan. This really might be the worst deal I've ever seen.
That is unbelievable. There was a defenseman sign. Should we get to that?
I guess so. This is the big news of the day. If you're just joining us, Taylor Hall has been traded to the New Jersey Devils straight up for defenseman Adam Larson. That's what's happening in Edmonton.
The Columbus Blue Jackets.
A little less of an impact scale, but he is a very good player for their blue line. Defenseman Seth Jones has agreed to terms on a 6-year extension with the Blue Jackets worth $32.4 million in AAV of $5.4 million. In a statement, Blue Jackets GM Jarmo Kekalainen says, quote, acquiring Seth Jones was very important to our organization, and reaching a long-term agreement with him to remain a Blue Jacket was a priority. We are extremely excited about having done so today. At 21, Seth is just beginning to tap into his potential as a player. He has everything you look for in a defenseman and is going to be a very important player and leader on our team for many years. It's a good day for our organization, end quote. He had 20 points and 2 goals in 41 games with the Blue Jackets this season. They acquired him on January 7th, straight up 1-for-1 for Ryan Johansson. Jones had 11 points in 40 games with the Preds prior to the trade. He's played 240 games in the NHL with the Preds and Blue Jackets, 17 goals and 83 points.
I like that deal. I really do like that deal. I think that they get a guy who is a top four defenseman, bona fide top four defenseman right now. He plays top pairing minutes in Columbus. He's probably bordering on a top pairing defenseman at the age of 21. He'll be 22 to start the season. And I think, Will, in year 4, 5, 6, maybe even earlier, but certainly near the end of this deal, I think we're talking about Seth Jones's contract looking like a steal.
Yeah.
So I really like the deal that they got for Seth Jones. And they traded Ryan Johansson for him. And that, you know, that's one of those deals that...
That one for one made a little more sense, didn't it?
That did make a little bit more sense. You're talking about high-end center for high-end defensemen, both young. But the contract they signed Jones to makes a lot of sense. I like that deal quite a bit.
The team wasn't done there. They also signed center Pierre-Luc Dubois to his entry-level contract. He becomes the first from the 2016 NHL draft to sign their entry-level deal. He was the third pick by Columbus last Friday in Buffalo. He is in Columbus right now for the development camp for the Blue Jackets. It started on Monday and comes to an end tomorrow. After those two contracts, they were up to $40,000 in cap space. So the Blue Jackets did buy out the final 2 years of defenseman Petter Tuitton's contract. The 32-year-old recorded 39 goals and 185 points in 553 games during his 8-year career in Columbus. Tuitton is second on the Blue Jackets' all-time games played list with 553. He's behind only forward Rick Nash, who sits at 674.
There's our spin around the NHL. A few more texts at 960-960. This just in, Taylor Hall has been traded. We're getting word the blockbuster move is just really big return by Edmonton standards. We're learning what's that? It's a Big Mac. Yep. Did they get some fries? No, Pat, just a Big Mac. It's a little bit better than a Big Mac. It's perhaps a little derogatory towards Adam Larson. I was completely unaware that Patrick the Starfish is the new Oilers GM. Fair enough. I like this one. Has anyone tried proposing that trade in NHL 16? And then this came right before it. My PS4 wouldn't let me make that trade. It called me an idiot. And this one tried to make that same trade on my Xbox and was declined and was laughed at. I don't know. I mean, they save about $1.9 million on the cap, one for one. They get a defenseman, and in trying to balance it from Edmonton's perspective, I mean, with Draisaitl and Puljujarvi and McDavid entering the organization over the last 3 years, they have had an influx of talent. Again, for me, if you're trading Taylor Hall, the biggest reason that I don't like it is not because I don't think Larson's a good player, or not because I don't think they need help on the blue line. Both of those things, I do think he's a good player, and I do think he will help the Oilers on the back end. But I think that with the type of player Hall is, you could have maximized this more. And because I feel like you could have maximized it more, I wouldn't have made the deal now. I would have waited to get more later on. And if you couldn't get more later on, I don't think his value is going to go down. That's more where I'm coming from on the deal for Taylor Hall to New Jersey today.
Now, you know, this trade is probably, I've seen it up there a couple of times already, it's probably an indication that Milan Lucic is in fact going to become an Oiler on July 1st. But boy, wouldn't that be a story if Lucic goes, you know what, second thought, I'm probably going to sign here instead. Whoopsies.
I do think he's going to end up signing with the Oilers. Kind of seems now like a fait accompli that he'll be an Oiler. And this does, I mean, help you out a little bit in doing this, because if you're going to get a $4.1 million defenseman in Larson and you're going to bring in Lucic at $6 million, you probably were going to have to move out one of those guys. There's the whole locker room conversation that plays into it, too. I understand that. I still would have tried to maximize that deal more. And because I don't feel like this is getting as good value as you could get with Hall, I would have waited to make the deal. That's where I stand on it. Nonetheless, the deal's been made. Taylor Hall is a member of the New Jersey Devils, and Adam Larson is a member of the Edmonton Oilers. One-for-one deal made today. He's Will. I'm Pat. If you want 6 months of Sportsnet Now, streaming your favorite sports, all 4 Sportsnet regional channels, Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet 360, all you got to do is be a fan club member. Enter now, sportsnet.ca/960. Your 6 months free will include all Blue Jays games, regular and postseason, all postseason baseball, World Series, World Cup of Hockey, regular season NHL, Toronto Raptors, and the NBA. We're making the draw on Monday, so enter now, sportsnet.ca/960, as a fan club member. His name is Will. My name is Pat. Big Show is brought to you by the Comedy Cave, 9206 McLeod Trail South, and at comedycave.com. Join them every Wednesday at the Comedy Cave and enjoy the Hump Day special. Celebrate the middle of the week by enjoying the Caveman Burger, homemade French fries, and any domestic beer, plus a show for $19.95. If it's comedy you crave, come to the Cave. Big Show continues next on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The questions you're asking, the answers you're craving. It's 3 burning questions on The Big Show, only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, William, what do we got for our 3 burning questions today?
Can't really follow that segment up, but I'll
What are you talking about? What happened in that segment?
Nothing. Nothing at all happened.
Is Seth Jones' contract extension? That's... I mean, it's a big deal.
I don't know if we should roll with this, but Nick Kiprios has just tweeted that the Montreal Canadiens have traded PK Subban to Nashville for Shea Weber.
Whoa.
That is a tweet from Nick Kiprios. It's the verified account. PK Subban to Nashville for Shea Weber.
Holy.
Let's wait and see if we get more.
But yeah, there it is right there. Hashtag blockbuster. Canadiens trade PK Subban to Nashville for Shea Weber.
Now,
oh boy,
he's the only one rolling with that right now. Yeah, and Elliot Friedman just tweeted it.
Yeah, I mean, I trust Nick Kyprios for sure. So
it is one for one, it looks like.
Oh.
What is happening?
What a day.
So three burning questions is out the window. We can bring Robin, I guess, to this conversation because that is massive.
Well, I mean, I'm stunned by that deal.
Which one?
I mean, the Edmonton one is still rattling around my brain, but
yeah.
PK for Weber, like, I like that deal for Nashville. I really do.
Do you like audio?
Sure.
Love it. Here's Mark Spector this morning on Ryan Pinder's show.
I'm really perplexed. You know, I was in Buffalo writing and listening to the press conferences and when the whole Subban thing kind of blew up. And I'll tell you right now, like, Mark Bergevin, the Montreal Canadiens general manager, he referred to Subban as a good defenseman. Well, do you think he ever refers to Carey Price as a good goalie? You know, he said, when guys phone me on Subban, I have to listen. That's my job. You think he listens when guys phone him on Carey Price? Because I don't think he does. And I think that if this whole situation came up around Carey Price, he would have squashed that scenario like a bug within about 15 seconds. And he never did that with Subban. He never stood up and said, look, enough. I'm not trading PK Subban. He's our guy. We got him here for the next bunch of years. You know, he's a man in our community. He's a key player in our team. We're not trading him, okay? So move along, reporters. He never said that. And I was just, I'm a little perplexed. The trade never came out for the draft, but I'll tell you, I'm not counting PK Subban in Montreal for good until the clock strikes 12.
Well, I guess the clock struck 12.
Subban is a $9 million cap hit. Weber's at 7.85.
Does he still carry that atrocious bonus, though? Or is that, you know, remember he was getting
Weber?
Those $14 million bonuses every year?
I think those are done now.
Okay.
I think because he's into like year three or four of that deal that he signed with Nashville. Yeah. So,
well, Philly.
So the offer signed with Philly, Nashville, yeah. But yeah, Philly was the one who came up with the framework of it. So Habs will save about 1.1-ish actually on the salary cap.
Is this continuing, guys? I don't know what is happening, but what? TSN Bob McKenzie is saying Steven Stamkos is staying in Tampa.
What?
Everything is happening, and it all just happened in 30 minutes.
Less than that.
Steven Stamkos is staying in Tampa Bay.
Well, you just never know, right? You just never know.
Oh, my goodness.
React to that, Pat. All right, Pat, react to that.
Didn't see it coming. Did not see that coming. Like, I thought he was gone for sure.
Everybody seemed to always leave that door open a crack, right? That he liked it in Tampa. He wanted to go back, but wouldn't make it work. Well, clearly they made it work. We don't have a dollar figure on that.
Not yet.
Can I jump back to the middle one? Is it straight one for one?
So far, yeah.
Subban and...
Yeah.
Wow.
So to recap, we've got a one-for-one deal with Edmonton and New Jersey. Edmonton sending Taylor Hall to New Jersey for defenseman Adam Larson. About 25 minutes after that, what we assume to be a one-for-one deal right now, PK Subban to Nashville in exchange for Shea Weber. And now a blockbuster non-trade, but Steven Stamkos signing with Tampa Bay. We don't have dollar figures on that yet.
Well, what the hell are the Flames up to, Pat? Where are the Flames in all of this?
Oh, boy.
Now, this ruins my whole afternoon because, of course, this whole afternoon was going to be predicated on the fact that Stamkos did visit Toronto. He met with the mayor of Toronto, John Tory, and the president of Canadian Tire. And our whole afternoon was going to be, okay, what would you do to woo a free agent? Clearly, John Tory and the president of Canadian Tire was not enough, Pat. It wasn't enough.
Well, I guess you can throw that out the window because, everything else.
Do you ever remember anything this
far
quick?
More? Never.
Right?
Three blockbuster decisions like that in the span of, what, half an hour? We got
that is not a trade deadline or anything like that.
1:30 is when the deal came down for Taylor Hall, and 2:00. Possibly two bigger decisions have been made since that, and that was a blockbuster day-dominating deal then. And now you've got Subban for Weber straight up and Steven Stamkos signing what we assume to be a blockbuster deal with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Holy cow.
What set this all into motion? What are we missing here? Why now? I mean, the buyout period, sure, that ends right away. Free agency's 2 days away. But what led to this?
I don't know.
I'm thinking the only non-trade deadline, non-July 1st date that was like this, wouldn't this be the draft in Los Angeles when Carter and...
Minnesota.
Or in Minnesota, sorry, yeah. When Carter and Richards were traded?
Yeah.
But that had a gap of about an hour. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Your hour, you can throw to it or I'll throw to it. But the fact is, we got to get caught
it's
up on a
few
things.
It's
the
matter.
Show. By the way, free agent frenzy, for what it is, it's Friday. We're going to be on the air at 9 o'clock. Adrenaline Source for Sports sponsoring that. So will we have things to talk about? Absolutely. Do we have things to talk about this afternoon? Absolutely. Two blockbuster deals and a change of heart. How would we describe Stamkos staying?
I don't know. Not a change of heart. Just
found a way.
Didn't see it coming. Because who knows? I mean, we've all along thought that he wanted to stay there. So I don't know if everybody you talked to, even, you know, mm-hmm. hearing from Friedman and Johnson, like everybody talked about how his first choice was to stay in Tampa.
Absolutely.
If they could get a deal done. So I don't think it's a change of heart, just maybe a swerve on the outside.
Went all the way up right to the last minute. The courting period allowed him an opportunity to talk to people. He knew what his value was out there, right? That's what the courting period gives you.
Yep.
Opportunity. We'll take a break and try and reset all of this when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.